So we're here in a rather quiet place in the Edinburgh Fringe, which is upstairs at the Carlton Hotel, with Brian Portsmouth and Sophia Price from P&P, which stands for Postage and Packing Theatre Company. We're going to talk about grated expectations. And I'm quite interested in this one because there's a Dickensian theme kind of in there somewhere, isn't there?
Absolutely. It's a story about a man called Timothy Sparks, who is somebody with psychological problems. He's got a dissociated identity disorder, which is multi-personality, and OCD. And he lives in his mind the characters of Dickens and also television. He's obsessed with television. But Timothy Sparks is also a pseudonym that Dickens wrote under. So we have this sort of mixture of, you know, potentials that can happen, which are explored during the course of the play.
It's the obvious question in an interview. Anything autobiographical in this?
I don't think so. Sorry, could you hold that a little more tightly, please? Not that I'm OCD or anything. Or could I hold it, actually? Because there's a... No, I don't have OCD. But I can understand people who have OCD. So it's not autobiographical, no. It's not.
So I'm quite interested also because you co-authored this. So let's put the Big Brother cameras on you when you were writing together, Sophia, and tell me what that was like.
Oh, it was enlightening and invigorating. We had quite a lot of... we've got a good relationship and very open with each other, and we tended to try things out in rehearsal process and then go back and think about it and write our own scenes and then come back and work on them together.
And in terms of, just take me back right to the early stage of that. So when you're actually forming the ideas, I mean, were you talking more than writing?
Right. Yeah, we did a lot of research on Charles Dickens and also the conditions parallel to that as well. So we were quite interested. We've all got a genuine interest in Charles Dickens' work anyway. So, and the man. So whatever came out that was interesting about the man and his works, we wanted to integrate into the actual play.
I was going to say, what we also did, because when originally there was a group of us doing it, it was six, and then six went to 5, 4, 3, 2. So we just came up with an idea that could work with two people doing it, and the idea of having, you know, somebody being interviewed by a psychiatrist and living Dickens through that seemed to be a good vehicle. And that was how we started to write it. And then Joe joined, and that made it much easier to have a sort of external body that could then, we could have a wider range of characters being played and introduced, and that was how it was developed, really.
Yeah.
It was a very, you know, it worked really well. And also I think when we were writing it, you tended to concentrate on the Dickensian parts and the television.
The comedic elements to do with his obsession manifesting itself in television programmes that he was familiar with, his experience on TV, and so somehow translating his knowledge of Dickens through specific programmes of his era, and bringing out the theatricality and the comedic elements of that. Even though it was a sensitive, well, it is a sensitive subject. We try to be quite sensitive about it, but also quite difficult to make that quite funny at times too.
I mean, I don't know if there is the parallel, but you know, when you think of characters like, you know, Micawber and people like that, there is that element in his own work, isn't there?
Oh yes, I think there is, and I mean, it's looking in today's society, drawing the parallels to show how very little things have changed. Sort of from the 1850s, things are exactly the same as they were then. We have very strange characters inhabiting our society, and I think that's what the character Timothy Sparks is permanently talking about, our society and how the Dickensian figures in it still exist today, and how he drew from life the characters that he created, and none of them were that strange, given if you look around or read the newspapers today, the sort of society we have now. So it all comes together. And in terms of Sophie saying about the television, that's such a tremendous vehicle for showing how society is today. So it all just blends together quite well, really.
It's interesting that you mentioned Micawber, because obviously that character was a reflection of his father. And so we've also added that connection with protagonist Timothy's father and his relationship with him. So, yeah, that's interesting.
But also, I guess you've got a lot of scope because there's such a rich vein here. And a question I've asked before when there have been shows around the theme of Dickens, why do you think in 2013 so many people still read Charles Dickens?
Well, I think he's because he creates the most memorable characters, and he deals with real situations. He deals with the things that we tend to gloss over. He looked at poverty. He looked at relationships. He looked at, you know, how people were exploited within society. He looked at brutality and death. And if you read the newspapers, those things are around all the time. But we seem to, we've somehow pushed them away from us. We see them in films, but in day-to-day life, we don't. And he did. He just recreated day-to-day life in a very, very real and exciting way. And I think, putting aside, given the fact that it was written 150 years ago, and some of the language is difficult, it's not the sort of language you use today, the phrasing of it is not the same, yet it's still really accessible. What is happening to them is happening today, and that's why I think it works so well.
And in terms of what your research into that personage has been, do you think he would be bemused by his the fact that people still read him, and bemused by the fact that people bring plays to the Fringe, about him?
Yes, I think he'd love it. I think he would love it. He was a bit of a showman himself, wasn't he? So he toured the country, and even his children after him toured the world talking about his characters and recreating his characters. So I think he would have loved it, actually. Just that his characters have actually lived on this far. He's immortalised them, really, hasn't he?
And I think he would have demanded the royalties from it, and he would have donated those royalties to a worthwhile cause, because I think that's actually what it was about. He demanded, he was the first person who demanded the rights of writers be recognised, and then when he got the money from that, he then used that to furnish and try and help good causes. He was, for his bizarre attitudes, I think, a very, very rounded human being.
Now, I've got the Big Brother cameras on your rehearsal rooms. Describe what the rehearsal process was like. And I know we've got the staring eyes of the actors here as well.
Well, the rehearsal process was... It was easy, really. We had a very nice space to do it in, and we discovered as we went along, and Michael, the director over there, gave us every opportunity to look and experiment, and he was permanently putting in really good ideas to make sure that we didn't get trapped in anything too sort of kitchen sinky, and he was giving it sort of ideas of theatricality, making it.
Yeah. Still does, constantly, improving the theatricality and giving us passion for what we're doing and constantly reflecting on what we're doing all the time. And it's still open. We're constantly finding things out each time we do it as well, how we can create still much more credible characters, much more theatrical aspects of the work. Yeah.
I'm going to artfully dodge here, and I've got to talk to all of you. I just have to. I'm going to speak to the director now. Tell us a bit about directing this.
Fun. It was fun all the way from the beginning. I think because the script is very accessible, playful. I think playfulness was the main issue for us. Keep it theatrical all the time. Not to dwell on explaining Dickens, but playing Dickens.
So did you do a lot of warming up and workshopping around it, or just script work?
No, we warm up on the work itself. We start with improvisations, we stop, we do it again. We play a lot with the material, not around the material. So discovering through playing on the material. There's a lot of physicality in the play itself. It's not just words. A lot of physicality because his characters were physical as well.
And coming back to the writers, now we're up here in Edinburgh. I know you're involved in it in lots of ways, but what happens to this thing? Do you give it away? Have you given it away inside? Is it still being worked on? Will you change it?
We have been talking about taking it when we go back and extending it into a, a full two-act, three-act play. So actually trying to give it more life, breathe more life into it. I think because of the time constraints, only having sort of 50 minutes or so to do it in, there are so many things we've had that we haven't been able to put in, so many ideas that I think have been put on the back boiler. And I think what would be really nice, which hopefully we'll do over the next two months or so, is extend that into a full play and maybe make modifications and changes, because it has a really good... There's a kernel of a really, really good idea, which works well as far as it goes, but I think could work better.
And what was at the heart of the decision to bring it up to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
Well, that was the aim from day one, was we were going to create a show, and basically Charles Dickens just was there from the very beginning, embryonic stages. So I don't know, it's just always been there, and we set out to do that, and that's what we've achieved, I think. So
I think it's also mentioned, because Sophie wouldn't, but I think it's something that Sophie wanted to do 30 years ago and didn't do, and now is as the perfect opportunity with Richard Husband to actually do it. And, you know, I think it's absolute credit to both of him, to him in particular as well, to being so supportive, so we can actually come and experience it and create something that is, I think, artistically well worth viewing.
Final question. So the ghost of Charles Dickens wanders from Hill Street Theatre, having seen the Trials and Tribulations of Mr. Pickwick, and wanders into your theatre and sees this piece, and then comes up to you afterwards. What do you think he would say, both of you?
Well, I think he'd say, why haven't you included Madgwick? Why don't you do this? What about this? How could you do... Why don't you... I think that's... He would just get right behind the whole process and see how he could aid and develop it. Such is the nature of the manor.
It's so rich and diverse. I mean, there's so much we haven't put in there, but we, you know, we've got to stop somewhere. So let's hope we've got it right.
Well, I think we've definitely got great expectations of Grated Expectations. So thanks very much.